Hello, good morning, and welcome to episode 95 of Life Song Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks, along with Philip Ramsey.
Good morning.
As we welcome you back into another week of the program. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us this week. We are excited.
95, that's quite amazing.
Episode Jimmy. 95, yeah.
What are you going to do when we hit 100, since you can't count over 100?
I don't know. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I can't either.
I guess we just start over at one.
Yeah. Yeah. Round two, but number one.
That's right.
Tell me what's been going on this week with you.
Oh, my.
It's hot. I know that.
Goodness. It's hot outside. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, my week, yeah, man, it's been, it's probably been a week like I've never had before. God has shown me so much this week and in so many different areas, particularly in my own life. And he's taken me places that that I've never been before. He's revealed things to me about myself that have never been revealed to me before. And brother, it's all for his glory. It's all for his honor. And you know, and I receive it all. Some of it's hard to receive and swallow, but I receive every bit of it.
Yeah, that's the number one word, glory.
Mm.
If we ever can just come to that conclusion in ourselves that everything that's ever happened when it comes to Jesus it's all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
That's right. Every bit of it.
Yeah. So I was thinking before you got here, how many Bibles do you own?
Me?
Yeah.
More than one. I don't know. It's
you have a favorite?
The one in my hand, yes.
Why is it your favorite?
Because of the information in it. I don't really know.
Isn't the same information in every Bible?
No.
Okay. So tell me why.
This one that I use the most is a keyword study Bible. Okay. So as you read it, there's keywords underlined in the Old Testament and the New Testament all throughout the Bible. Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek.
Keywords meaning what?
You know, just particular words that
were emphasized.
That were emphasized that we need to know.
Well, as you're looking, I bet I own 7 or 8. And in my hand, I'm holding, it's a ESV study Bible. And I like this, and I've got them all. I got King James. I got the Amplified, which I love. I've got the NIV. I've got the Message. You know, they're all good. And one thing that we must realize, this one that I'm holding now was given to me by a guy whose name was, guess what his name was?
Israel. I was there the day he gave it to me.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
To receive the word of God from a man named Israel, mm-hmm. whose actual sister was named Judea.
Yeah.
And then he had other, and of course, that's a long history. So this Bible is kind of really special to me. And I sent him a text a couple weeks ago. He lives in Memphis. And as I was studying the Word of God, I took a picture of it, and I said, I've got a lot of Bibles, but this one just is special. But this is a study Bible, and it has study notes at the bottom. But one thing that we all must know, truth is not in the study notes at the bottom.
No.
The only thing that I'm not a big fan of is the study notes that are at the bottom of this Bible are by different people. And I know who those people are. It's about, you know, probably 20 people that were a part of this actual study Bible. As I'm studying Galatians, I study Galatians, but I also do things on the side also during the week. So Galatians is not the only thing I study. I was studying this week spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts and why do we have them? And I remember I was speaking to, or I made a comment in a group of people about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the comment that I made, I was looking at the scripture, and I said, well, it obviously means this because it says this, okay? It was having to do with one of the gifts that were given, and so I spoke what I thought was truth based on the scripture, based on the translation that I was looking at. This week I'm studying about gifts and what they're for. Well, the gifts in the New Testament, all of them are given to edify the church.
That's right.
They're given for edification of the church. So I went back and started studying in the original that what I was looking at that I spoke to the group about. And the Holy Spirit, through the power of his word, said, well, you missed it on that one. So, Jimmy, spell, did you know you can spell God two ways? Spell God. Same trick question.
G-O-D.
G-O-D. Spell it again a different way. There's only one way you thing you can change. Okay. God, capitalized.
That's G. What I was thinking you were going, but I wasn't quite sure.
God with a little G. And when I was speaking to this group, I said, well, obviously means this because it's done unto God. Oh, my goodness. Little G. And then there in the translation, there was something left out. Not to prove a different doctrine. It just was translated differently. So what I was speaking to, I was totally wrong.
You need to go back to that group setting.
I really do. I've already said, Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit to show me that I was wrong on that. But anyway, the whole reason I'm saying that, Jimmy, is I own 7 or 8 different translations. Every one of these translations have small differences. I would say 80 to 90% of the time, not a big deal. Speaks the same truth.
Right.
But 20% of the time, these little small differences of adding articles, A's and V's and big G's and little G's, mm-hmm. can change the whole foundation of the Word of God and completely distort this gospel that we're going to talk about today.
That's right.
So, hey, use your Bible, use your study Bible. Pray before you read. Know your context. When you know your context, you know the who, what, when, and where, and why. Now you can accurately interpret what was said. But do try to go back and study a little bit
more. And that's
why
this Bible that we were talking about mine, is my favorite, because it takes it gives you an ability to quicker. Now, I can go back through software on my computer or through other places that I use on the internet to study and search and look out words and things in the original language, mm-hmm. in the Hebrew or the Greek. But with this Bible, it makes it so much faster, because it has some of these keywords underlined, and I can take these words and I can go to the back of the Bible and look up the number that it puts next to it and say, all right, that's the original word in the Greek or in the Hebrew, and look at the definition and what it means. And then some of the words, it'll say, all right, it means 5 different things, and it'll start giving you every scripture that it's used in. All right, this is what it means in the context of that scripture. This is what it means here. This is what it means there. And so it makes understanding and swallowing the truth a whole lot easier.
Yeah, even today, as I was reading Galatians, the word for, F-O-R-E, actually can mean 6 different things. So you have to know what the word means, not just the definition of the word, but you have to know the context of the word and actually how it's used in the text, what, you know, you hear us say that a lot, but what tense the word's in, is this a noun? Is it a verb? Is it present tense? Is it...
A lot of people cross their eyes at that and say, man, do you have to know that much? A lot of times, no. But then a lot of times...
The big stuff, yes.
Yes, and here's what I say to that. If he's worth pursuing, his word is worth dissecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's worth pursuing with everything in your life, if that's what he means to you, then his word is going to mean just as much to you. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus Christ spoke, when he spoke words, they were... And he spoke them in the language of Greek, and they were transcribed, or they were recorded and written in the language of the Greek. Then it's incumbent upon us to know the words that he actually spoke and what they really mean. I think that's where I'm at with it.
Because one thing I've learned, man can be wrong, and Phil is a man.
That's right.
And I've definitely been wrong this past week, but the Holy Spirit just, when he started showing me the truth of what was going on, I felt so much peace about what, you know,
absolutely
only he could offer that. Anyway, we're going to get back in the book of Galatians. We started last week, and I think we might have got to verse 6, but I'm just going to say we start with 1 and read through, just to get the context just a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll start around verse 6 and break it down. So come back right after the break. We're going to jump into the book of Galatians.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross. blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake.
Song Radio. I'm Phil Ramsey here with my co-host, Handsome Jimmy Hicks.
Thank you for allowing me to be on.
That is a false translation, by the way. Anyway.
No. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you on Life Song Radio.
All right, Jimmy.
Yes.
We read, let's just go ahead, since it's not much to it as far as reading. Read 1 through 5. Let's get a little context and let's dive into 6.
All right, so Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, and according to the will of our Father, of God our Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen.
All right. As we discussed last week, Apostle Paul is an apostle, considered to be a apostle of Jesus, which everybody can't be. There were originally 12, and then Judas, we know what happened to Judas. They added one more. And so Jesus had died, was buried, and rose again, sits at the right hand of the Father. Time passes. God appears to Saul on the road. A lot of you are familiar with that. On the road to Damascus, he was en route. He had an agenda. He was a Pharisee. He was a very strict Pharisee who was on a mission from God. And he truly believed he was on a mission from God. He wasn't a hypocrite. He believed it. And his job was to arrest those people who were following Jesus Christ, the one that had died, who Paul said this guy was from the devil. So he had a mission, and that's to persecute, destroy, arrest any follower of Jesus Christ, because he was a threat to God. And so God showed himself to him on a road to Damascus. He was headed to Damascus to do what I just told you. God intervened in his life, blinded him with a light. God revealed to Saul who he was, and he saved Saul, used other people also to give him marching orders on what his role now is to be as an apostle of Jesus Christ. So here it brings us to this book. Paul wrote many books, and Galatians is just one of them. He's addressing churches in Galatia, which are several that he started and were a big part of these churches. He invested the gospel of grace to these churches. He taught these churches what grace was, and grace is the way of salvation. And anytime you work for the Lord and you're called and you're doing his ministry, when you leave, and sometimes even when you're there, Satan comes to destroy and to produce a counterfeit of the original. So Paul had left. Right after he left, Satan comes in.
Yep.
Satan comes in and starts perverting the gospel. And the people that came in, they're called Judaizers. And what they believed in the death of Jesus Christ. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he came to redeem his bride. They believe he was God, you know, and that's what they believe. And that sounds good. Jimmy, you and I both would agree with that.
Absolutely.
They said that, but they added to the gospel of grace. And they were teaching circumcision, that you must be cut. And also they brought in legalism. And they brought in, hey, we got to get back to the law, because that's really, yeah, God loves you, he saves you, but we have to keep the law in order to be saved. So he added to the gospel of grace. And Paul, he is bewildered. He is amazed that these people so quickly started to desert the gospel of grace and grace alone.
Basically, it really wasn't too... to everybody. They believed that Christ was the Christ for his people. And so the Jewish were fine, you know, because they had already been through some of the practices, I guess, prior to. But what the Judaizers said, they insisted that the non-Christian or non-Jewish believers in Christ couldn't be true Christians until they submitted to circumcision and kept the law of Moses. And so so they had to attempt to keep the law, and they had to submit to circumcision, which was part of their beliefs prior. And so they were all Jewish. They had already all done it. And so instead of saying, you know, them coming and saying, okay, yeah, I believe in Christ. He came for that, and he came for this. He came to save us and to redeem us. But since we've already done this, you got to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. False gospel.
That's right.
Mathematics added to the gospel is false.
That's right.
Anything other than 100% total grace is a false gospel.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. You can't take any. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it.
Mm-mm.
It is what it is. Whether you like it or not, it's still the gospel.
All right. Let's read. Let me look here, see if there's anything else we need to say about that. They definitely were trying to discredit him. anyway, we're going to get a little bit more of that in a minute. Let's read. I'm going to pick up here. I'm going to go 6-9.
Oh, you're going to read? Yeah. That's a change.
It is.
You don't ever read.
I got braces, so I may have some lift. I'm trying to speak through a metal mouth. Anyway, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, I say it again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed, which is the word anathema. Is that how you pronounce that, Jim?
Yeah.
Anathema. So I was sitting here reading, and so let him be accursed. And, you know, if you notice throughout the history of God, God had devoted certain objects, certain individuals, certain groups to destruction. In the New Testament, there's a couple categories, but I was reading the Old Testament, and when he said of the ancient city of Jericho, he declared, "And the city shall be under the ban; it and all that in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, lest you covet them and take some of the things under the ban. So you would make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it." That's Joshua 6:17-18. So we see that Achan is the son of the Carmi. He took some things that were under the ban that were cursed by God, and because of his disobedience, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. So God had set some things in the city aside to be cursed and set to destruction, right? Yeah. And he took that, and there were consequences for that. So what does that tell you? Whatever God cursed, keep your hands off of it.
That's right.
Keep your hands off of what he has set aside for destruction. Now we fast forward into the New Testament. There's two general categories of people whom God devotes to destruction. The first category is anyone who does not love the Lord.
That's right.
In 1 Corinthians 16:22. The second is false teachers, who in Galatians 1:8-9, Paul twice calls accursed. Jesus warned his disciples that false Christ and false prophets will arise. They will arise and will show you great signs and wonders so as to mislead, even if possible, the elect. That's in Matthew 24:24. You know, I was sitting here reading that, Jimmy. These false Christs, these false teachers, they were doing great signs and wonders so as to mislead, even if possible, the elect of God. And elect means those who have been born twice, those who have been saved. So what are, I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, I just got people jumping in my brain even as I read that. I'm flipping through the channel. Every channel, any Christian channel, every time I flip, the word miracle came up. Miracle.
Yeah.
Miracle. This is your miracle. Teaching and preaching, it's time to get your miracle.
Yeah. Religious TV.
Mercy.
Did you get the text I sent you last night? No, you didn't.
That's probably in bed if it was after 7.
Yeah, it probably wasn't. No, it may have been before. But anyway, I'm getting off the thing. Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, miracles. They're for the most part, they're preaching miracles, and they could lead you astray. if you're not, if you don't belong to God.
Well, I mean, I want to make reference to, obviously, you talk about the false teachers, and make reference in where Paul talks about it again in Jude.
Mm-hmm. I got that written down in one of my notes.
Okay. You want to wait? Or you?
No, you go on and jump off in it.
All right. So Jude, the book of Jude, the epistle of Jude, it's only one chapter, but if you start looking in verse 3, and I'll read down verses 3 and 4. Beloved, I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, and I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So who are these people that he's talking about? Well, the ones who have turned the grace of God into something else. These are teachers preaching a false gospel. Mm-hmm. And so he's telling you that these false teachers have been marked out beforehand for this condemnation.
Chew on that one for a while.
Yeah, chew on it for a long time.
That's neat. That's really neat. I like to study that a little bit more myself. So that's huge. It appears also that false prophets tend to be more interested in popularity than in truth. You know, have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's this picture that goes around social media that I've seen a couple of different times, and it's one of those memes, and it's when you preach the truth, I forget how it's worded exactly, but when you preach the truth of the Word of God, this is what you get. And it's a room with about 15, 20 chairs, of which only six or so are filled, and it's a preacher standing in front of, you know, that limited number of people. Mm-hmm. But when you distort the gospel and you preach something other than the truth, then you get a former basketball stadium, 20,000 people full, in the largest church in America.
So a false prophet, the Bible says in Galatians 6:12, they want to make a good showing in the flesh, and to gain a following for themselves. That's Acts 20:30. So they have different motives. I think they're sincere, mm-hmm. but they're sincerely wrong.
Right.
And their father's the devil, and that's why they are. Amen. They're blind to the truth.
And Paul was amazed by it, because it's what he says. Oh, yeah. Or he is amazed basically by, more so by those ones following him. If we go to our text now, back in verse 6, he says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And right there, amazed, I'm so amazed, or I am amazed, is present tense, which signifies that he's continually amazed. It's mm-hmm. it's more like me saying that I can hardly believe what I'm hearing about you. That's what he's saying. I can hardly believe what I'm hearing about you, that he's astonished that they are so quickly moving away from deserting Jesus.
And we said this last week. I think we covered verse 6 last week.
Did.
Different is the word heteros, which means a totally, totally different kind. Not that there is another. There's no other gospel. Any other gospel is 100% wrong. So different means heteros. In a minute, he's going to use a word called allos, allos, which is different than heteros. We're going to get to that in just a second, which means it's different. So let me illustrate that, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hand you a cup of water, okay? If I hand it to you, will you drink it?
If I'm thirsty.
All right, if I put one drop of cyanide into the cup. So here's the deal, Jimmy. It's 99% water and just a mere 1% cyanide. Would you drink the cup?
No.
It'd kill you.
Right.
Satan is the same way. With the Judaizers, they were preaching the gospel message, okay, heteros, a different gospel. But there was a lot of similarity in the gospel. Jesus was the Lord. He was the Messiah. He came to save you from, save his people from their sins. Yes, he lived. Yes, he died. Yes, he rose again. But here's a drop of cyanide. And the cyanide was circumcision and works.
Let me take it a step farther. If you give me that cup with that cyanide in it, and I drink it, knowingly or unknowingly, what happens to you?
To me, the one that gave you the cup? I guess I'm about to watch you die.
Okay, what happens to me?
You die.
Right, right. Eventually, you're going to pay for that because my blood's on your hands because you gave me a cup with cyanide in it. But also, I'm responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the punchline to that. The Galatians, just like any of us today, are still responsible to what they hear, to what they buy into. And see, they could have refused to listen to the false teachers who then would have had no power or influence over them, but they didn't. They decided to believe them. They decided to deflect from what Paul had taught them. And so while doctrinal error is still rampant today, just like it was then, the hearer is still responsible to turn away from that teaching. And so the teachers, you can't point the blame and say, well, this guy told me that. Yeah, that guy's blood is on, or your blood, or whoever's blood is still on that guy's hand. He is judged just as harshly or more harshly than us. But that doesn't take away your responsibility. You're still responsible to verify all that he teaches you before you swallow it.
Right. And I think we're going to get to this maybe today, but they were deserting the message of grace and the person of grace, but they were called by God's grace. I would say this. If you study the churches, 100%, let's just bring it back till today. Okay? Let me use your church, Jimmy, because we know you got some lost folks there. I'm just kidding. But even though they're at Jimmy's church, at my church, at every church, there are people there that have been born twice who are saved by the grace of God. More than likely, there are people there that are who not. So, if you've been called by God's grace, you could take what we're about to study here today in the next few weeks, that you can, yeah, you can be called by his grace, but you can also desert his grace or fall away. Well, Here we go. Where you're going to have to take a deeper look at this. And I was talking to a young person actually yesterday. And we were talking something to this falling away. And I gave a visual. I said, if I instruct you as your father, if I teach you and instruct you in the way that you should go, And then I leave and you go off to college, okay? And you get off to college and you start questioning what I instructed you on. And you start kind of deserting some things that I've taught you and start going a different way. Are you still my daughter? Absolutely. Come back to what I instructed you. Stick with what I taught you. So because you are starting to listen to other people, these people sound right and they are influential. And there are times you will taste some things that they're talking about. But you belong to me. Your mother birthed you. You are ours. So we're saved by God's grace. So if we've been called by God's grace and if we are abiding in him, we can, on this road, waver back and forth. We are sinners. We are sinners. We're going to make, we're free to sin. As a born-again believer, look, my sin condemned me when I was lost.
Hmm.
But I loved it. I was enchained to it. Let me tell you something. I loved it. Didn't want to go nowhere. Felt right.
Yeah.
Felt good.
That's right.
So when I was set free from the bondage of sin, okay, the chains were taken off of me, and now I'm free to sin. It doesn't profit me to sin, Jimmy. All things are permissible but not profitable. So as a free man, I can sin. As a free man, I can jump off the building. But I will die. But I'm free to. I'm not condemned. When I hit the ground and die physically, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven.
Right.
So I'm free. So these people, I will say some of these people in the churches of Galatia, just like every church in America, not every one of them belong to God. Not everyone that confessed to be born again are born again. That's God's job, not my job. But there are people that are there that who are born again, saved and called by the grace of God, who appear to be leaving and believing what other people are saying. You know, that's just a fact. So that's not saying that these guys are lost. I'm just saying they have deviated off of God's plan and path for their life. Right. And now he is saying, look, man, I can't believe you done it so fast. Come back to grace. Come back to the principle and the doctrine of grace, how God saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't add anything to it. You add one thing to it, it's false. This is what you need to know. This is how you were saved.
Right.
Come back to grace.
And so basically, you come back because you've been preached a different gospel. And there's not another gospel. There's not another gospel, but what you've been preached is a different gospel. So how do you know it's different? I mean, let me give you an illustration. When I was probably 19, 20 years old.
Two years ago, by the way.
No. when I was, I had to be early on in my 20s because I was just married, recently married. And there was I got an email. And in that email, it said that so-and-so wanted to send you some money. And I thought, huh, really? And as it went on to explain, we want to send you some money. We have some difficulties getting money into America from where we are because of I don't even remember exactly the wording of it, but we're having these difficulties getting this money into America, and we need help getting it there. So if you'll put this money in your account, you can keep the majority of it. And we can get, just the piece of what we need to get it to the people we need to get it, right? Okay, so that's what the email said. So I open the email, I see that, and it wants me to do that. So what do I do? Well, okay, I mean, you're going to give me, what, $100,000 just for helping you? Absolutely. And so what I didn't realize is then, of course, being as young as I am, all they got was about 15 bucks. But, the access, what it was doing was give them access to my account to take my money. And so what appeared to be helpful was it wasn't helpful to me at all, right? It was harmful to me. And so I got a message. I trusted the message. I did what it said, and I ended up losing what I had, all that I had, which, of course, as a young person at the time, all that I had wasn't a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's called being scammed by spam, right? You've been scammed by spam emails. We've all been there. Not everybody was as stupid as me to actually go through with it. But you can also be scammed spiritually, and that's what Paul is talking about here. When that happens, when supposed teachers of the Bible distort the gospel and proclaim a false message that they call truth, whether it's salvation by works or by circumcision or by baptism or by whatever, and it's a different gospel. It's not what Paul had taught. It's not what the Bible teaches. And so how do we avoid that? How do we avoid getting scammed spiritually? Well, you do that by knowing what the Bible says, knowing what the true gospel is. And then that's that salvation is only available to you only by grace through trusting in Jesus, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. That's the gospel. Don't be fooled by another message. Anything else is a scam.
Let's go on to verse 7, okay? Which is really not another, talking about the gospel. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Here, the word another is the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, which refers to something of the exact same kind. So, if I told you, Jimmy, I'm going to give you a watch just like mine, okay?
Right.
So, if I give you a watch, it's got to be identical same name. Same, if I got a scratch on this watch, if I give you a watch, it's got to have the same scratch. So everything's got to be 100% identical.
Mm-hmm.
So this gospel, this another gospel, is, means the exact same kind. Only there are some of you, some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel. So, which we know there is really not another.
Right.
Disturbing means, the word is terasso.
Yeah.
It means to shake back and forth, to agitate, to stir up. It denotes deep emotional disturbance, refers to an unsettled mind. This word here is used when Herod, when he heard about the birth of the King of the Jews, that's in Matthew 2:3.
Yep.
The King of the Jews, of the disciples, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, also that word is used, Matthew 14:26, and of Zacharias, when he saw the angel of the Lord, he was disturbed, that's Luke 1:12. It was also used by Jesus when he said, let your heart not be troubled, not be shaken back and forth, not be agitated, not be stirred up. That's what disturbing means.
Right, right. And it's also in a, if you look at the text, it's also in present tense, which... it's continuing, you know, at the time he was writing the letter, on the scene, it was continually stirring up the Galatians with their false gospel. And it was also an active voice, which, you know, if we want to get real technical with it, that means that in indicating that they're doing this as a definite choice, which, is emphasized even more by the following verb in the text, which is want. They want to do it. They thaleo, mm-hmm. thelo, which is also in present tense, but it says saying they have a desire and they have a motive, to distort the true gospel. They are attempting to do it purposefully.
Yeah, distort. Distort means to turn something into its opposite.
Twist.
Yeah, reversing.
Right.
And therefore, if you reverse it, you pervert it.
Mm-hmm.
So they are turning something into the opposite. They are perverting and changing the gospel of Christ.
Right.
So that's what that means. So when the gospel is distorted, whenever the gospel is distorted, the church becomes unsettled. Okay, that's what happens when there's a disturbance. Paul wrote in Titus, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach. That's Titus 1:10-11. So when a false gospel is preached, there's going to be some unsettling, especially if you're saved and you know.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you believe, then it just seems right. But if you know what you believe, you've been saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you, you cannot be, I don't believe,
okay.
Like we just read, they would... Satan comes as an angel of light. He could fool the very elect, if possible, which means he could fool saved folks, ultimately, if it was possible.
Right. But he can't, because they've been given the knowledge of the truth, and they can see, and when they do see that false gospel presented, when they witness it, it twists them, it bothers them.
Wait a second, Phil.
What are you laughing at?
I don't like when you do that.
I just got to know, because that can lead to some different, I guess, thoughts here, because we're saying something completely different than what the text is saying. You're saying that if we're saved, then we witness, and when we witness a false gospel being preached, we know it. But if we look in verse 6... Paul says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. So he's saying to the Galatians, you are not only hearing a different gospel, but you are chasing that different gospel. You're deserting what I preached to you.
Mm-hmm.
So they heard it and they believed it, the right. different gospels. So it's kind of a, there's some differences, what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think as we get further into Galatians, we're going to be able to really work out what you're saying. I can understand where you're coming from. But if you go, I believe it's being hindered. You know, if we go to in Galatians 5:7, it says they were now being hindered from obeying the truth. Not that they couldn't. That this, there are now, Satan is starting to put obstacles and some false teaching. Can you lose your salvation?
No.
Why?
Why
can you lose?
Because he never loses one.
He does.
Jesus. But I'm not saying they lost their salvation.
But they can deviate.
And I'm saying, that's what I'm saying is habit. I'm not saying that they've lost their salvation. I'm saying, well, I guess when you start talking about, if you believe in a different gospel, that means you don't.
Well, I was brought up, you know, he could fool the very elect if possible. So it appears these cats were fooled.
Right. But maybe not.
Well, I think they, just like me, just like some things that I believed on spiritual gifts that I believed my whole life. I believed that.
Mm-hmm.
But through God's word, you know, and I believed it mainly because I was ultimately taught it. And then I skipped over the top of the word like a rock on the water. But when I settled in on the truth of God's word, God revealed to me the truth.
Right.
So I think... And the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. He's the one that comes in and seals you, and he's your teacher. So do you know everything you need to know about God right now?
Absolutely, and you never will.
Are you going to grow in your faith?
Yes.
These folks need to grow in their faith.
Right.
And I believe the one who started their faith will finish their faith.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're going to get it right all the time. Man, I get it wrong all the time. When I hear somebody really, really smart talking, the first thing I want to do is believe them, because it just sounds right.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit that lives in me says, yeah, that sounds good. Sounds just like those guys in Galatia that was preaching the gospel, but really was dropping a 1% cyanide into it. Something's not flowing correctly. So you may want to, you know. So I don't think you're going to know it. You're definitely not going to know everything you need to know. You never will until you see him and be like him. So as you grow in your faith, don't be tossed to and fro by every doctrine that comes out there. Test it. Test it. Study thyself to show thyself approved. Does that mean that you're Jimmy or Phil? Can we get it wrong today? And even the things that we get wrong, we may go out and preach it and be wrong. We can do that and still be his.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I think as we get further in Galatians, we're going to learn that when it speaks of falling away, when it speaks of deserting, if they truly could desert grace, they never had grace.
That's true.
You got to go back to the parable of the soils. There are people that sprouted, that sprung up. The ways of the world hit. Satan comes, snatched the seed away. You just fall in that category. We're all represented in that parable. If you can truly desert grace, being saved by grace, if you truly can desert that, then I can assure you, based on Scripture, you really never was his to begin with.
Amen.
Anyway.
All right.
That's deep, bro.
That is. And let's
don't ever call me out again on the radio.
Don't you ever give me an opportunity to. Don't you ever double talk out both sides of your mouth again.
Let's try to.
Let's go to verse 8.
Read 8, 9. Let's see if we can knock that out.
But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I will say again now, if any man is preaching you a gospel contrary to which you have received, let him be accursed.
That's pretty stout right there. An angel from heaven.
Yeah, let me give you the vision God gave me this week.
Okay.
And I've already given it to you, but I want to give it to everybody. If we look back in Isaiah had a vision, and in his vision, he saw God.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw seraphim. All right. Each, which were angels, each with six wings, which are two more sets than any other angel has ever had. So these were special angels in heaven that were circling God constantly.
Holy. Holy. That's what they were saying.
You missed a holy. Proclaiming him a three-time holy God. And it was constant. It was just a constant thing. And really the word angel means messenger. And so they were messengers that God created. He created a special angel in heaven to constantly minister to him. Holy, 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 just over and over and over again. And so that's part of what Isaiah saw in his vision. And taking that information into account, Paul then says here, but even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Mm-hmm. And so God created us. He created angels. He created these special angels that go around in the seraphim proclaiming him holy. But even if they were to preach a different gospel to you, they will be accursed. Mm. That's big. That's how big he takes this, how serious he takes his gospel.
You know, I think he said that because the Jews believe that divine law came through angels, if you read Hebrew 2:2. So he's telling them, even if an angel comes and preaches a different gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. This person set aside for destruction. Look, and I think, as we're going to see, what do we do when we come across folks like that? We're going to, if we have time, we're going to get to that. But that's big time. That is big time. So anybody preaching a different gospel, let him be accursed.
You've already talked about accursed, haven't you?
Yeah. We see in the New Testament, Jimmy, that there's two things that God says are cursed or anathema. Do you know what that is?
Two specific things that are cursed?
Yes. I think the two only things. Now, I could be wrong. I'm here. I'm a teachable moment here, but I believe there's two things, two types of people that are cursed.
Well, those would be false teachers.
Yes.
And unbelievers.
Unbelievers. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And I believe you're right too. There. Yeah. Absolutely. There. You know. Obviously, we know that not everybody believes, and what happens to those that don't believe, they are
cursed.
And so and then false teachers, who obviously fall into the same category of unbelievers because they believe a different gospel, so they don't believe the real true gospel, and so they are accursed as well. And not only for their unbelief, but they're probably accursed even more because they helped cause unbelief in others.
All right.
So that, yeah, I believe the false teachers would be accursed even more than the unbelievers themselves.
The Apostle John wrote, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his own evil deeds." So Christians should stay away from false teachers, no matter what their credentials are. It's very clear we're to stay away from them. You look at Timothy, he was well trained, right? But he was also warned to stay away from error and just to concentrate on the pure truth of God. And you can read more about that, 1 Timothy 4:6-7, then verse 13, and then 2 Timothy 2:15-17. So just like Timothy, we should deviate from anyone teaching a false doctrine.
Hmm.
It's just not a good place to be.
No, it's not. And they're serious about it. The Lord is serious about it. And as we'll read on, Paul, I mean, we already see that Paul's serious about it. And the reason Paul is so serious about it, and the reason we should take it just as seriously as Paul did, is because, and we'll see this next week, is that Paul says that I didn't receive this from a man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't receive it from a man, and nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yep,
and so, and that's the way we receive it. And that's why we should take it as seriously as Paul did.
Absolutely. All right. Next week, we'll pick up with verse 10. We got through 9. And just be aware, what I could say to you today, know what you believe. Know what the gospel is, what the gospel isn't. The gospel is 100% grace. Favorite verse in the Bible, Ephesians 2:8-9. Saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man shall boast. It's a gift of God. Picture a water hose going from you to heaven. The water is God's saving grace. The water hose is the faith. So I know it's kind of crazy visual, but anything outside, anything you add to grace is not the gospel according to what the Apostle Paul said.
And understand this. This is all for His glory. Every bit of it. Not only salvation, but what happens afterwards. It's all for God's glory. And so anything that puts attention, focus, or emphasis on you or anything else is a false gospel because it's all about His glory. It's not about your glory.
He don't share it with nobody.
It's not about you being applauded for accepting it. It's not about you being applauded and made much of for teaching it. It's not about you. None of this is about you. It's all about God, and it's all about God's glory. And if your heart is not giving God glory, then you're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask you to examine your heart, because a lot of that, and I'm not saying this in any kind of blind accusation or anything like that. I want you to understand what God has shown me this week. He has shown me where I have missed it. I've missed giving God glory in certain areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really affected me in a way where I have regrets, but I also am encouraged because now I see where I was wrong, and I'm anxious and eager to make sure that God gets all of the glory for every single thing, for everything that comes out of my mouth, for every action that I do. If it's making a sandwich to eat, God is going to get the glory for it.
Absolutely. Jimmy, let me read this before we close. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas and the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep, which believe this gospel that I just told you. He lived, He died, He rose on the third day. He rose on the third day.
Yeah.
And your response to the gospel is repent of your sins, turn from your way of life, believe. When you turn, what is turning? You turn from this world and you go towards Christ. Your mind, your will, your intellect, your decisions, every part of your being turns from this way of life and goes to Him. Not in perfection, but definitely in direction. And believe what I just read to you. The Word of God says He will save you by His grace.
Yes, that's right. Amen. Well, believe that, repent of your sins, and believe what Phil just told you, because that's the gospel, and don't believe another, because there is no other, right?
No.
Amen. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll see you next week. All right. Father, we love you. God, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. I thank you for the work you've done this week in my life. I thank you for opening my eyes to truth that I've never seen before, truth that I've never known before. God, I thank you for it, because I know it's all for your glory. God, I thank you for filling up, having the opportunity to sit down, to dig into your word, and to share what you've laid on our hearts. God, I just pray that it's received today by those that are listening. I pray that they understand what we've said to them. I pray that they are able to dissect, and I pray that they're able to just receive it, Father. Phil and I, we don't do this for anything. We don't do it to boast. We don't do it for the approval of men. We do it for your glory, God. And so now we give you all of that honor, all of that praise, and all of that glory. God, those listening right now who may not have heard the gospel before, or maybe they've heard it, but they've never heard it. God, I pray that if there are any you deem worthy of your salvation, that God, for your glory, I pray that you save them today. Amen. We thank you. We love you. It's all in Jesus' holy name that we now pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hey, you can hear the program, if you didn't get a chance to check it all, on www.lifesongradio.com.
There's a dot between those W's and Lifesong Radio. I'm sure you got it. Lifesongradio.com. Thank you, folks. We'll see you back here next week.